I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1959. The album, Musically Mad. The artist, I guess, Bernie Green. And, of course, his Stereo Madman. My guest? Are you a guest or a guest?
I'm a guest.
Oh, my guest
only
this week.
Only a guest,
it's Chris Houghton. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me back.
Are you kidding?
I'm excited. Exciting.
Yeah, it's good.
Listen.
Yes.
I know people are banging on your door,
uh-huh,
trying to talk about Musically Mad.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it today.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weirdest album. Yeah,
it is so strange. Well, the thing is, like, so I don't think when you were on, did Mad come up? Did we talk about it? Maybe briefly.
I don't think you can talk about Weird Al without mentioning Mad.
Right. It probably came up. But then I noticed on Twitter, you among a ton of other people who I am either friends with or know through this show, like Dan Telfer, are all like, fuck this. This really sucks. Mad's going bye-bye.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk very quickly before we get into the weirdness that is this frigging album.
Yeah.
What's your history with Mad Magazine? Totally. Go, like, reading, writing.
Yeah.
Arithmeticking.
You're right. I did a lot of math for Mad. Mm-hmm. I loved Mad growing up. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to read it. Therefore, I wanted to read it more than anything else.
Sure.
And once I got to college, I went to art school in Detroit. And once I was there, I started thinking about, you know, work and trying to be a professional illustrator or comic book artist or something in the arts, and wasn't quite sure. And I loved Mad, so I would submit artwork to them, comics to them, anything to try and get their attention.
Starting how young were you doing this?
At like 19.
I love it.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. And and I remember once I got a reply from Sam Viviano, which he was the art director for a long, long time. And it was the nicest rejection letter. But, you know, he was just like, you're not ready. Keep working at it.
Yeah.
And then just a short couple years later, it was actually the assistant art director got a hold of my brothers and my comic book series that we were doing through Image Comics called Reed Gunther. And the assistant art director, Ryan Flanders, was a fan, and he was in charge of the Fundalini pages, which is like a newer feature, and it featured comic strips and little gag illustrations, and he was like, hey, I really like your comic, do you want to do, you know, this spot illustration? And it was the first job, you know, I had gotten from Matt. It was a little spot illustration of a Chip and Dale as Chip and Dale's dancers in Disneyland. I forget the, you know, it was like, you know, five horrible things you'd never seen it. You'd never see it at Disneyland. And so, you know, I got to draw these like giant mascots of Chip and Dale, like gyrating and grabbing themselves. And
kids. It's delightful. You posted on Twitter the other day. It's great.
Exactly. And that was probably in like 2010.
Okay.
And I was just like blown away. I was so thrilled. I was like, oh my God. Like, I did this little spot illustration. I'm like, I'm in the Usual Gang of Idiots.
Fucking A,
like,
man.
Like, I did it.
Come on.
And
that's huge.
And it was so huge. But what was even cooler is I thought that was it. It was just like, I got my one. And then they just like kept calling me, and they kept throwing me little things throwing me bigger things. So I don't know how deep you want to get into it, but I did a bunch of little spots.
As much as you want. Yes,
I did a lot of spot illustrations, and Shane and I would pitch comics to them and jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Never got anything through.
Okay.
You know, Matt has a really specific tone.
Sure.
And we'd always try to pitch in that tone, but we just couldn't hit it. We just couldn't get it. And so they would hire me to just work on their stuff, which I was thrilled to do.
Of course.
Couldn't really like crack the Mad secret formula, you know. But I did end up doing like some bigger jobs, and the biggest job by far was maybe 2 or 3 years of doing some little jobs here and there, every couple months getting a little call from Mad, and every call was amazing. Every email was like, oh my god, a job for Mad. And then one day I was at Disney working on a show, and got a call on my phone, and I just recognized the area code being from New York, and I'm like, okay, like, and I answered it, and it was Sam Viviano, the art director, and Sam never, like, called me, and very rarely would we email, but I would see him every once in a while, like, social gatherings and stuff, and I was just, like, just utmost respect for Sam, so, like, him calling me, I was like, what's going on, you know, and I answer, and he's like, Chris, it's Sam Viviano. I was like, hey, Sam. And he's like, how are you? I'm like, good. He's like, how's your wife? Fine. Like, and I'm just like sweating bullets. Like, what? Like, you're burying the lead. Like, what's happening? And then, you know, he kind of just, because Sam is such a nice guy, and he just wanted to kind of chat for a while, and I'm just, you know, flop sweat down my back. And then he's like, I was doing covers for the Adventure Time comic book series.
Okay, awesome.
And he was like, I heard about this thing, Adventure Time. It's blowing up. We want to parody it. We want to do some spoof on Adventure Time. And I was like, oh my God. Like, he's calling me to do some kind of, like, you know, 2 or 4 page parody on Adventure Time. That'd be insane. And he hadn't said it yet, but I was like thinking, my mind's racing.
Of course, of course.
And then he mentioned doing a cover. And I was like just blown away. Like,
of course.
You know, if anyone, any listeners, I would assume only Mad Magazine nerds are listening right now. And the thought of doing a cover is so, such a small group of artists have been, like, allowed in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had been doing work for Mad for a few years up at that point, but very small stuff.
Yeah.
And for them to throw me a cover was just, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I knew some of the, like, Tom Richman, who does all the huge, you know, movie parodies and big, like, spreads on the inside of the magazine. He was, like, razzing me because he had never done a cover at that point. He's now done covers. But it was just, like, it's such a special, rare thing.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. Like, so much so that, like, I kind of forgot the rest of the phone call. but you know, Sam kind of explained, like, we want, you know, Finn is going to be on the front cover. But what if instead of the face of Finn, it's the face of Alfred E. Newman? You know? And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And, sure. And he's like, and what if Jake is like, Jake the dog's like, he's got, you know, an expression on his face that's like, wait, what? Who is this? It's not my friend Finn. This is, what? And I was like, no, no, I think I, okay, cool. And, but like, that's how Mad does it. Like, they have a very specific vision. They know what they want. And so Sam was like, you know, we'll work there. I, like, literally hung up the phone, went for a walk in the parking lot, like, out at Disney and Glendale, and just, like, freaking out. Just total dream come true. And then went on to even do more stuff for them. It was an absolute joy and such a tragedy, the recent news. But, you know, there was also, Mads had so many weird ups and downs. Like, they moved out of New York,
right?
You know, was that a year, a half, year and a half,
something
2 years
like that,
ago?
Yeah.
So, you know, once Sam and John Vaccaro and all those guys, those longtime guys, stopped working on the magazine, for me it was like, oh, that's a real big end of an era, you know. So
I get that.
So I think, you know, even this is different, and it's kind of ending this shorter run. But I don't know. I think, I don't think Mad's really going to go away.
Right.
I don't think so. I think they'll, you know, they're going to still reprint stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I could see them, you know, they had that stint on Cartoon Network. I could just see them doing more stuff.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's, that's my history with Mad.
That's delightful. I mean, I think every kid who thinks they get comedy, and I thought I got comedy as a kid, you know, you get old, you're like, oh, I was a dipshit. But you're little, you're like, oh, this is the best shit on the planet. I want to do that. You never think that'll ever happen.
No.
That'll never happen.
No, I used to tell people, like, oh, yeah, I'm submitting stuff for Mad Magazine, like, in high school. I wanted to do it. And people were just like, ah, that's ridiculous. Or, like, or, you know, Mad? Like, there was like, either a mixture of, like, do they still make Mad Magazine?
Right, right.
Or it was like, no, that's ridiculous. Like, and And yeah, it was just like such a treat, you know, especially to like kind of meet these guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was definitely like an early, you know, the OGs of Mad Magazine who have since either passed on or retired. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those guys, they're still doing, I mean, Al Jaffe.
Yeah, yeah.
And even like, you know, Sam Viviano was like part of the second generation, but he had been working for decades on the John Ficarro and these guys that like they just really know comedy and mm-hmm. they're just such pros mm-hmm. at everything they do. It was such a different experience doing any kind of job for Mad because they know what they want. They would often like for the cover, mm-hmm. you know, Sam sent me a sketch. Like he's
so good.
Like he's an art director who's uh-huh. he's constantly drawing and working out compositions and then lots of notes, lots mm-hmm. of specific. It felt more like working in animation. It was like mm-hmm. very collaborative. They want you to throw in more gags. They'll That's throw great. In gags. There's a lot of back and forth. Like on that cover, I'd drawn BMO vomiting up binary code. Like, I love it, you know, and let's try this and that. And they're just, yeah, it was just a different vibe. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. I felt so honored to get like a little snippet of that.
Of course.
You know, and going to visit I went to visit the offices one year in New York. And
it's amazing.
You know, yeah.
Was it like when Bart Simpson opened the door? It must have been exactly like that, right?
I wish.
Right?
God. I felt like such a fool. I was there and they were like, show me all around. And I met John Ficarro, a longtime editor, and I walked in, and he was like looking at old, like gag sketches that God, I'm blanking on his name, but the original Spy vs. Spy artist mm-hmm. had mm-hmm. sent in, and like from decades before, and he was like, "Yeah, what do you think of these? Look at these." I'm like looking at these old, and it was like, "Oh my god!" And
holy shit!
So like showing me around, pulling out old Jack Davis drawings, ugh. And just all there's originals everywhere, and there's like a wall that any Mad artist who comes to visit the office mm-hmm. draws on the wall.
Oh my god.
And I'm like soaking this in. I feel like I'm like honored, but I feel like I'm nerding out.
Yeah.
And then I go, I'd love to meet Ed.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, and as soon as I said that, mm-hmm. I want to meet Ed, and their confused looks on my face, I was like, oh no, because I was thinking, I want to meet the funny guy named Ed who writes back to all the letters. I was like 25. Yeah. I was an adult. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I was like, I want to meet the guy who writes back to all the letters that get written into the magazine. He has such funny quips. Uh-huh. And as I say, like, where is Ed? And they're like, who? It all like rushes to the forefront of my mind of like, fuck, it means editor, you idiot. There is no man named Ed.
Oh, God. That's so good.
And I don't think they noticed, but it was like, I was just instantly like, duh, let's change the subject.
Yeah,
and
of course,
and it
sure.
Just, it was a shocking, it was like my brain decided to finally make the connection right then. And I'm glad it did on its own without uh-huh. them actually having to like spell it out mm-hmm. and me being like, Ed, the man who writes the funny responses, and them having to tell me that I'm an idiot.
We've all had moments like that, though, because, like, honestly, so much of what you were processing when you were there is from your prepubescent brain.
Yeah, right? Actually, yeah.
You're not there as a 25-year-old.
No.
Not at all.
No.
All of a sudden, it's like this guy comes jogging up, like, wait, Chris, get the bat. No.
Don't leave before asking them where Ed is.
And then the rest of you is like, okay, let me ask it. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I totally get that. That's amazing, though. That's fantastic. Yeah.
It was wild. And, you know, it was a trip because, like, I'm also a member of the National Cartoonist Society. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of, it's like an old, you know, cartoonist club
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, real big in the day when, you know, because it was so comic strip artist heavy.
Yeah.
And it still is. It's still very newspaper comic strip. Artists and other folks, but so back in the day it was like, you know, if you're a comic strip artist mm-hmm. One, you're probably a millionaire because mm-hmm. it's a different world
mm-hmm.
and you're in this club, you're in the National Cartoonist Society. So it's still happening today and it's a great organization. It's obviously changed a lot, but when I was in college I won a scholarship through them
oh, wow.
and was able to like go out to LA and, you know, go to their Reuben Awards, which is kind of like the, you know, Academy Awards for comic strips.
And, yeah, holy shit.
And part of that was I you know, I had to go on stage and say a little something. So I knew I needed to, like, I needed to kind of keep up and say something a little quippy or a funny little anecdote or something. And the event was happening on my birthday that year. It was I think it was turning 21. And I got this award, and there was, like, a, you know, cash scholarship. And so I got up on stage, and it's a black tie event.
Sure.
It's, like, really fancy. And I say something along the lines of, like, oh, this is so great. Like, this is happening on my birthday. You know, I remember a birthday when I was, like, 6. I had a magician at my birthday party, and that was cool. But this, like, this is a very close second. And everyone again laughed a little bit, and I, you know, left. And the next day, because it's, like, a weekend event, the next day, I'm, like, mulling about. And I head out by the pool, and, like, some people are hanging out, and everyone's just, like, has, like, a fun kind of vacation out of the weekend. And I'm hanging out by the pool, and Nick Meglin, who was a long time, I think he was the, oh, I should know this, I think he was the editor for a while.
Okay, he was Ed. Okay.
He was Ed. But he was, like, he is a cornerstone of the magazine and was involved for decades. And was a very tall, funny and intimidating strong man. And he walks up to me and he goes, "Hey, are you the asshole that got on stage and said that funny quip about this being your second best birthday?" And I was just, like, just terrified. Like, I'm a short guy. He's not only, like, taller than me, but he has this air of authority, and I respect him, and he's, like, calling me an asshole. And the whole, like, people at the pool are like, whoa, like, everything got cold.
Fucking record scratch.
Yeah. And then he just goes, "Ha ha, I love it." And I was just like, oh my God, okay, this is the group, you know.
That's exactly what I would hope one of those guys would be like.
Yeah, they're all fantastic. Like, they're your uncles at a family reunion. Like, they're funny. Uh-huh. They have their own club. Mm-hmm. You're not really there because you're a young kid.
Sure.
But you would love to just hang around them.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And like, the other thing, too, is, like, they've just, you know, you keep talking about how they know what they want. They have a very specific way of doing things. Like, that's kind of the dream as a comedy writer, or I would imagine even as a cartoonist, where it's like, no, this is the way I do shit. And I can keep doing it and still be successful. And I've finally found a pattern that works and isn't monotonous somehow, you know? And they also seem to keep reaching roughly the same age of kids for 60 plus years.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. This is a 60-year-old album now.
It's wild. Oh, yeah. Should we talk about this album?
We should probably talk about the album, but I mean, I wanted to dig into why you wanted to talk about it. Because I'm like, I found this thing at Atomic Records here in Burbank, and God. And then I think a second later I saw that you were talking about Mad, and I'm like, oh, perfect. Well, let me ask him first. Because I have had other Mad Magazine writers on the show.
Yeah.
I had Arnie Kogan on, who wrote, what's funny is I owned this Mad. Somebody bought it for me because they know I'm a fan of anything that makes fun of Spiro Agnew. I just have a weird specific thing.
Okay.
And I got and they gave me this. And I'm like, hey, did you ever write anything in this? He's like, yeah, I wrote the cover story one in that. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. I'm a fucking idiot. Will you please sign this, sir? And yeah, he was kind enough to sign it. But we talked about Mad Magazine, I think, maybe around, it's not on here, but there's a little flexi disc called It's a Gas that is literally just fart noises. It's just fart noises and music. Because that's the kind, but this is...
Wait, that's not on this,
No, I don't think so, no.
It does open up with, like, a weird... Hand farts.
It's got hand farts. But yeah, It's a Gas came out, I want to say, 65 or 66, based on the mod sound of it.
Okay.
But this is its own thing and not at all what I think either of us expected.
No, I feel like this album is... The only way I can describe is it's a mistake. I don't think anyone meant to make this. Because it's okay, what would you think when you saw this? Mm-hmm. What did you think was on here?
Fart noises. And if
and skits?
And skits, one would think. One
or
would
funny think, voices.
Yeah, so like, and that happens in one sketch. There's one guy doing a fun, and I'm like, oh, this is a funny bit. And like, he's doing a good voice, and then the rest of it is just like, you really got to know this specific classical shit to have this as a reference point.
Yeah, because I don't even know what the joke is. Because for people who haven't heard this album, which I'm assuming is everyone in the world.
I will tell you, I know a guy who owns every Mad magazine that's ever been published. He's like, I'm not familiar with that album. Like, no shit, he doesn't know what this is.
Well, it's basically, it's just classical music.
Uh-huh.
Right? And yeah. I don't know if the joke is they're, like, riffing on classical music. Like, I don't know classical music well enough to know, like, if they're parodying it.
I know it enough to know that they're all, but they're not even doing, like, have you ever heard Spike Jones, like, the old comedy musician Spike Jones from the 50s, his stuff?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so his was like, he would do this, but instead of that, it'd be a bunch of, like, fucking noisemakers and whistles instead of the instruments.
Okay.
That doesn't even seem to be much of what's happening here. It's just like, this is a slightly goofier version than what you're used to hearing, and it feels like something is for the parents of kids who read Mad.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, okay, it came out in 58.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mad came out a couple years before that.
Yeah, I can't remember the year. I don't know.
So, I honestly wonder if, like, I don't know, they're a budding magazine at the time. Mm-hmm. Some licensing opportunity comes up, and maybe they jump on it.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is because I went on discogs.com, which is very helpful if you're a nerd for this kind of stuff. And if you look under Mad, Mad has their own releases. This is not listed as one of them. So I now wonder if this is like, if it is licensed. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It
doesn't.
Well,
that's a good point. Did they just slap Mad's logo and Alfred E. Newman on here?
And some art on the back. Like, there's like one.
That's true.
There's some art for each track. I didn't look to see who drew that art. They do credit the cover artist. So it's not like a total bootleg or some piece of crap, but it doesn't at all. It's not what you expect. It's not like the stuff. Again, we're talking about how Weird Al was so inspired by Mad. You would think this would be like proto Weird Al. You would think this would be, anything like that.
It's really weird. And you look at these. So there's little illustrations on the back, little black and white Mad magazine illustrations.
If you want to see it better, I just there we are.
Little Mad magazine illustrations on the back, but This is you're buying a bill of goods when you buy this album because this looks very fun.
Yep.
And then you put it on and it is anything but. I didn't listen to the whole thing through.
Uh-huh.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I got about 2/3 of the way there and I said, that's enough.
I almost got all the way through, but
time is finite.
You got here early, but I still was like, I can't wait till he gets here because
it's not good.
Now this last thing says it's called Laughing Raymond, and I'm wondering if it's laughs instead of music. Don't know. I suppose we could listen to it on the podcast and just get there and just see what happens.
True. Do you want to pull it up?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up.
Let's
because
do
like
it.
Because at this point, all we're going to be doing is insulting the work of. Somebody.
Yeah, we don't.
Is this Bernie Green? I don't know who this Bernie Green is. Like,
it's also the Stereo Mad Men. Now, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know who the Stereo Mad Men are.
Sure,
but I'm assuming their name had been around for a few years, and they probably said, "Hey, there's this Mad magazine that's popular.
Yeah,
what if we teamed up with them and did an album?
Right?
Because this seems like something put together in a by committee.
Uh-huh.
There doesn't seem to be any singular individual person behind this.
Nope.
Yeah.
I love the cover. I'm very happy to have an Alfred E. Newman cover
that I can
hang up at some point. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's hear what Laughing... Is it just called Laughing Raymond? Is that... Okay. So, I'll just read the description. It's going to track for no one. Al Galadoro is featured in a fantastic saxophone solo, and Snicker Morgan is included just for laughs on this Mad version of the famous Raymond Overture. There's where we're going to be lost.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know
you're
the Raymond Overture.
Already like, is this a joke?
Yeah, right. That's the other thing, too, is I'm like...
Is the description a joke?
Are any of these things real? Because I know the Mikado's a real thing, and I recognize one or two of the tracks.
I don't know.
Woo! All right, here, let's see if we can hear Laughing Raymond. Don't know if we're there yet, by the way. Might not be there yet. Nope, this is the chimes. That's a track about chimes.
See how funny this is?
Hilarious. Like, if you just wanted fun music, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one right before it.
Like, at best, it sounds like, soundtrack to the soundtracks to like a Looney Tunes Merry Melodies. Yeah,
100%.
You know,
that's exactly.
It's like, okay, yeah, it's kind of silly, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it's like, okay. So a bunch of people saying ha ha ha. Now that's a knee slapper, I gotta tell you. Boy, oh boy.
I think the joke is they're taking classical music, but instead of say, oh, we all know the violins play this part of the orchestral arrangement. Instead of the violins, we're gonna have chimes.
Right.
Which is, I think there's someone, a very eclectic person, who thought, by golly, that's an album. That's hilarious.
This is at best clever. That is. And
you want to think like, well, it was different times, I guess. It was the 50s.
Sure.
But no, there was some funny stuff
in
the 50s.
There was some great stuff in the 50s.
Come on. There was, comedians were writing jokes.
Yeah.
There was funny TV. There was funny radio play.
This is around the time the first stand-up records were coming out. Red Fox was doing stuff. Well, this
schlock.
Was, yeah.
Just
a
bunch of schlock. It's so bizarre. I want to know what the Mad Magazine history behind this was, because like Bill Gaines had a weird the history of Mad licensing out its image.
Okay,
has a weird history.
Mm-hmm,
there was
mm-hmm.
that movie in the late 60s, 70s.
Up the Academy?
Yes.
Which I have been wanting to buy the soundtrack to because I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
I don't know what it is. It's like, I could be like, hey, let's both go watch that. And it could also be, the same fucking situation.
True. I know. I've never watched it because I don't think it's worth watching. I mean,
right.
The reason they wanted to pull Mad away from it was apparently it was so bad.
Yeah,
it's such a
movie. There is one piece of,
if I
tell you, if I say two keywords to you, which are Alfred E. Newman and Fred Astaire, does that mean anything to you?
Not a thing.
Let's keep talking while I try and pull it up.
I mean,
I
know who those two people
are.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no. Did they team up? The greatest pairing in dance and comedy history?
Well, this is driving me crazy. Well, here's the ending of Up the Academy. Let's just watch this because it's just as disturbing.
Wait, is this really the movie?
This is the ending, apparently.
It's just the same shot a bunch? What the...
This is wacky. There, that's that.
Oh my god, yeah, I've seen... Okay.
There's a video of Fred Astaire dancing around with one of those heads on.
No way.
Yeah.
Really? That is stuff of nightmares.
That is nightmarish. Now, and because it's such a good sculpture of what he looks like. I mean, it's too good.
Yeah, well, and there was a... Because the story, if I'm remembering it correctly, is like there was way more Alfred E. Newman references in this movie.
Okay.
Bill Gaines saw it, was horrified that he agreed to partner with this movie, thinking, you know what, it was going to be the next Animal House.
Well, look
something.
At the poster. The poster, have you ever seen the poster?
No.
Oh, here, I'll pull it up.
Is it very Animal House, kind of Jack Davis-y?
It is at least supposed to look like a Jack Davis, and it looks very much like what you would expect from... Is it bigger? Oh, well, that doesn't help me. That's very tiny, but you get the idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, so that statue apparently it was filmed in the movie, so that's still in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's some stuff they couldn't get rid of, and they still have that statue. It's in their... in the Mad Magazine offices.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I've got the photo with the Up the Academy.
Now, this is brilliant. They parodied it in the magazine.
Oh, wow.
Mad Magazine resents Throw Up the Academy. I mean, that's great. That's so...
They're owning it.
Everything. That one frame, 10 times better than this entire album.
Yeah, it's really weird. And so with, the history of Up the Academy, it makes me even more assured that this is either a ripoff or a mistake or some, did Bill Gaines, did he have a faulty connection over the phone once and he said no and they thought he said yes? Something happened and it resulted in this catastrophe.
Guys, did you hear what Gaines said? Well, he said, yo-ho-ho, I think that's New York for yes.
All right, yo-ho-ho, I say! Make me that album! Where you replace the strings with chimes? Ha ha! I say, how funny! It's so bizarre.
It really is. It had. I want to say it had potential, and then I also keep thinking, what the fuck would it be? What would a full Mad, other than, again, what Spike Jonze was doing, or what any other parody person was doing?
It's so wild.
So they'd kind of be repeating themselves a little bit.
Well, and it's funny because, like, you think about comedy albums and Mad Magazine, you know, Jack Davis, he did a million covers to a million things, and then everything he was too busy to do, someone else just tried to do their best Jack Davis.
Of course, of course.
But what, gosh, there's a comedy duo, you're the man to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Davis did a bunch of covers for their
Bob and Ray.
Bob and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of their albums,
right. Just all very
because
good.
Their covers are so great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny. It's like, okay, there's no stranger to like branching out.
Yeah.
Or at least their artists weren't.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, Mad. I don't know what happened here.
What's the most successful? The only one that I can think of is Mad TV is the most successful licensing thing they ever did.
Yeah, which was like totally removed from the magazine.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it made them some money. I mean,
I know, right? It's weird. Yeah, and even the little, you know, the Cartoon Network series that
I forgot about
kind
that.
Of mm-hmm. 2010-ish.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a bunch of shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the magazine had anything to do with that. But it's funny because with that or even Mad TV, there is a brand of Mad. It's just so recognizable. And I think it kind of, you know, just it's like alt comedy, it's punk rock, it's rebellion, and you know, you're gonna be a little rascal and read Mad Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, oh, a sketch comedy show called Mad TV has nothing to do with Alfred E. Newman, the magazine, or whatever, but you kind of know what the tone's gonna be.
For sure. You know? The big difference there, I guess, is that you could accidentally share it with your family, and that's not what you want to do with Mad Magazine.
It's true.
Ever, right?
Yeah.
Maybe friends.
I think everyone likes to think of Mad as the thing that they've discovered and that they need to tell their friends about. You know, you usually find Mad when you're, what, probably 11 or 12, and it's just like, you know, the right amount of rebellion mainlined into you, and there's just the right amount of like a little bit of profanity or like a little bit of like scantily clad whatever, and just a little bit of like thumbing your nose at authority, just enough to anger your parents, you know. It's funny now because I think like anything that's been around for so long, especially when it's established itself as like anti-authority or rebellious, those kids grow up and then they're like, those parents want to read Mad with their kids. And it's like, oh, it's kind of, wait a second.
You're kind of ruining it, man. Don't ruin it for your fucking kids. Like, I do wonder, again, my friend who owns every Mad magazine, I'm like, his kids, they can't like Mad. There's no way they like Mad magazine. I'll ask him. There's no way they like Mad magazine.
Right. Well, and there's, you know, I mean, this kind of goes for any kind of parody thing, but you know, you try to read old Mad magazines from the decades you were not alive in,
right?
It's really hard to get the jokes or know what they're parodying. You know, I think that's why it's like I don't know if Weird Al's like that, but everyone's like, oh man, you know when Mad was good? When I was 12. You know,
100%.
They'll name the years that like they read it, because they were, you know, they were at the perfect age, and they're like, that's what, it's like SNL, you know, it's like, oh, you know when SNL was the best? When I was in high school.
Yep.
It's
every
like,
time.
Yeah, okay, that's what everyone's
doing. Sure. Yeah, they're everybody, yeah, the only years everybody agrees that nobody gave a shit about were when, like, the Brat Pack was on there and, like, a couple other random years when people were, like, when Lauren left, you know, that kind of stuff. Some random, you know Anthony Michael Hall was on that show?
Was on SNL?
Yeah. Like, really? As a cat, like, a bunch of these fucking weirdos were cast members on the show. Then, like, some people famously got cut, like Sarah Silverman and what's her name, Jenny Slate, got fired for saying fuck.
Oh yeah,
it's happened a couple times. I felt so bad because she's so fucking brilliant. But
well, it was funny too because at the time everyone was like, "Who is that?"
Right?
Oh, it was just the girl that said the F word and got kicked off. And then it's funny, Jenny Slate. I mean, the name is so, everyone knows her.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, she was dating Captain America for a while too.
That's how you do it. You know what's weird? I just realized this. Mad TV and SNL. Mad TV was kind of like the cracked magazine
to SNL.
To SNL.
You're right. You're right.
Which is weird, right? Because like cracked was very much like, you know, the, I don't know, the Pepsi to the Coke, or just that we're like not quite there. It's not quite right.
I would try, and I'd be like, oh, this is disappointing.
Even who was the Alfred E. Newman?
Yeah, they had a blonde kid.
Yeah, and it was just like,
with
I looked
painter's
at him.
Hat or something?
Yeah, he just upset me. Yeah. I was like, something's wrong.
Well, why are you doing that? Just come up with your own thing, number one.
Well, and Matt had a thing where for a number of years, if you as a freelancer did a job for Cracked, you were on the blacklist.
Oh, shit.
Like, it was a big, big deal.
Wow.
And, you know, that's why it was... Because, you know, Jack Davis, all those big guys that were known for Mad, they're not Mad employees.
Right.
They're just Mad freelancers, but they're part of kind of the brand. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the high ups at Mad were like, no, we gotta keep our people.
That's
and Cracked is no. And yeah, and it's like Mad TV was kind of that way for SNL in a weird way.
Yeah. I really loved it when it came out, but it also came out at a time where like I don't know, was I allowed? No, I was probably allowed to watch SNL. But like I think my favorites had already left or were about to leave.
Who was like the cast that you were like, oh man, this is it?
Of SNL?
Yeah.
I mean, Phil Hartman was my god, my personal god.
Sure.
And yeah, that was it. Like once was gone. Well, I mean, I loved it. Like Wayne's World's one of my favorite movies. Like that's when I don't know if it's any good. I don't care. I've seen it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And I've played Garth a couple times on stage now, so it's
perfect
fucking thing. and then, but then like Phil Hartman was my god, and then like he's the first celebrity outside of Jim Henson to die for me to be like really, really sad and torn up about it.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, actually, this is so I do a podcast about news radio, and our 100th episode was a stage reading of an episode, and awesome. One of the producers was like, hey, do you want this? This is from fucking Phil Hartman's memorial.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind. I'm like, I don't know if I'm allowed to have it. He's like, yeah, have it. And I'm like, wow. Jesus Christ.
Jackson Brown played.
Yeah, that I didn't expect either.
Huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's Dr. My Eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
very strange, right? So there, that answers your question. Yeah, I know, Ed McMahon.
Yeah. That's wild.
Right?
That's wild.
It's kind of crazy. It's one of those things you have to cherish.
Oh, my gosh.
Hope that it doesn't fall over. Oh, God, it's
going to fall over. I was very big into definitely, yeah, the Phil Hartman years, and then around there, too, it was, you know, Farley and Adam Sandler and, like, that, and, like, Mike Myers, and that kind of, like, was it like early mid 90s? But then really, like for me, it was just a little later. The like the Will Ferrell years, Sherry O'Terry is amazing. She's doing a voice on our show. It's awesome.
It's fantastic.
She's so funny.
I was too cool for school for those years, and then later was like I was like, oh fuck, nope, they're quite good.
It's so starting with Molly Shannon and God, who else was around that time? It was just Horatio Sands and like some really, really funny people.
Sherry O'Terry did a really great bit on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that final season.
Oh, really?
She plays a stage director, and she's a fucking asshole. It's so great.
Sherry O'Terry, like, she was just in yesterday and recording. Like, she's so funny and so fascinating to watch her work and, like, really, like, work out these bits and just she's, you know, just in terms of voice acting even and kind of rewriting stuff and trying to like find where the funny is and I'm like, she should be in everything. She's just, it's wild.
Yeah, she really so physical funny. Voice actor, because I like watching the difference between different voice actors
and she things. Is yeah and just and you know, just her style, knowing her, you know, for all her stuff on SNL, she's just so big.
Yeah.
Just like just the big swings for going for broke, you know, just going crazy, and it's like, it's, I think it's like easy to take that for advantage. You're like, oh, that person just really big and broad, but it's like it's people can't do that.
No.
You know, that's really
it's hard.
It's so funny. I mean, like, gut busting laugh. She's so funny.
It's got to be interesting to bring in people who are used to podcasting, who are used to being like, hi, what's up, I'm chill, I'm do you ever have to like Does there have to be more direction with podcasting people to get them to like, no, fucking open up a little bit? Or
yeah, sometimes, like, it's funny, like improv people, mm-hmm. People who are used to being on stage, mm-hmm. They usually have no problem going in because they're used to going big and broad, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. going for funny. It's really like actually sometimes people who have been doing a lot of just on camera live action stuff, mm-hmm. You know, where you can be subtle and there's a lot of funny in that. That's where we often need to push, you know, for people to go bigger, mm-hmm. bigger mm-hmm. than they feel like comfortable, because sure. there's a lot of trust there of like, is this going to sound good? I feel ridiculous, mm-hmm. and I like my career. I don't want to blow it up. I don't mm-hmm. want this kid behind the glass to tell me to go bigger. And, but it's like, you know, just something about voice acting. When you remove all the visuals, there's oftentimes we'll be in the booth and either I'll be recording or someone's recording and mm-hmm. it feels good in the booth. And then you take it back and you put it into the animatic and you're watching it and you're like, oh, this is really low energy.
Exactly right. The energy's not there.
It's so hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I crank up the air when I'm in there doing the voice of Cricket, mm-hmm. because I just have to get amped mm-hmm. at 10 in the morning.
Of course.
And I'll be sweating, mm-hmm. and I just got to throw it all in, because you can just hear it if you don't.
Yeah.
And some of our voice actors are like that. They just really have to go big.
Well, I mean, on camera, if you and I are acting across from each other, we don't say anything for 5 minutes somehow. I got to say everything with my eyes.
Yeah.
And if I'm really good at that, I might not be thinking about how do I do that with my fucking voice, you know? It's so hard.
It's just such different skills, you know, and there's so much funniness that can come out of, mm-hmm. you know, subtlety.
Sure.
And there's going to be subtlety in voices, but
of course.
Yeah, it's weird. It reminds me of, John Rhys Davies,
mm-hmm.
who played Gimli?
Yeah.
And he was always talking about, you know, he had all this prosthetics uh-huh. on his face for Lord of the Rings, and he would be like, oh my God, every expression I do, I have to give it like a 10
right.
in intensity just to get like a 3 or 4.
That makes sense.
You know, and I'm like, oh, that's voice acting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like prosthetics.
Mm-hmm. Making stuff track in audio is hard.
Yeah.
And that's the hard way for a long time.
But it's funny, like we had a... Joey Diaz in, who's mm-hmm. a stand-up comic and you know, has his podcast and stuff, and he had no problem getting big.
That's awesome.
You know, so yeah, it's just it kind of runs the gamut, but it's fun. It's mm-hmm. fun to, and I think you know, I think people like getting behind the mic and trying mm-hmm. to act crazy and blow up and be a cartoon.
One of the quietest people I know has done some of the best voices for me. He doesn't act. He's like, I only do it if you force me to. I was like, I've never forced you. And he's just always so quiet and just very quiet. And then you ask him to be expressive. I'm like, I want you to play this Austrian version of Krampus. And he pulls out this amazing Austrian accent and it's perfect. I'm like, fuck yourself.
That's
you don't know me. I love that.
That's great.
Well, here's the thing. We have been wandering around talk because there's not much to talk about. You guys, if you want to hear some fun music, that's fine. Listen to this. The jokes just probably aren't going to track.
I think you could put on any album
uh-huh.
and it would be comparable to this. Like any classical album. You wouldn't know if someone just put this on and said, guess what you're listening to.
Yeah.
You would never in a million years be like, is this a silly thing?
Right.
Am I listening to a silly, funny Mad Magazine record?
Mm-hmm.
No. You would go, is this like a drunk Beethoven? Is that the joke?
Very much so.
It's like, you know,
there's no intro. There's no somebody saying, hi, it's me, Alfred E. Newman, and this is my stupid album. Like, at least that would clue you, but there's none of that.
God, wouldn't that be great?
That'd be
because,
great.
Like, they would never do that later on or
sure.
now, right? But
sure.
there was, I would love to find an album, like, right when the magazine came out, before they had, like, nailed down all the rules
uh-huh.
of what they do
uh-huh.
and don't do.
Uh-huh.
And the album opens up and you go, hey! It's Alfred E. Newman, and you're like, oh God, that's what he sounds
that
like. That's canon. I hate
right?
that. I hate Alfred E. Newman.
All I can ever think of is the voice they use on The Simpsons, which I think is basically Ed Wynn. I think they're doing that guy, right?
Right,
yeah, that's it's 100% what they're doing. So that's all I can think of. But that would be
Which Alfred E. Newman? There's a whole history behind him because he was like basically old clip art,
really
back in the day,
really
like from a. you know, some old, you know, newspaper ad.
Uh-huh.
And then who was it? Yeah, Norman Mingo.
Uh-huh.
Was the first artist to paint. You know, he used that clip art as inspiration
yeah.
to paint what was Alfred E. Newman.
That's so yeah. interesting. I did
and
not
it's
know
weird.
That.
Like, if you look at Alfred E. Newman, like, his eyes never line up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, one's higher. His, uh-huh. his what? Like, his right eye
mm-hmm.
is noticeably higher.
Uh-huh.
He's a ghoul. You know?
I now need to see your cover. I need to see that Adventure Time cover.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was a trip, man.
I'm going to look it up. Yeah. I have to see it. I wish I owned
yeah,
a copy
I'll describe
of
it for you.
Please, yeah.
It's
uh-huh.
Finn.
Uh-huh, it's Finn.
But
sure.
instead of Finn's face, mm-hmm. it's Alfred E. Newman.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then Finn's dog, Jake the dog, mm-hmm. he's got a shocked expression on his face. He goes, wait a second, you're not Finn.
Let's see. Okay, I want to see Mad Magazine Adventure Time. All right.
Yeah.
Let's. Holy shit. God damn it. I love it. So bright and shiny. He's puking binary. Yeah. This is a delight.
The snail uh-huh. Is supposed to be. He's like flipping the bird.
Okay, yeah.
Is the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
doesn't have fingers. Lady Rainicorn is crying.
Mm hmm.
She's so upset. Her friends are ruined.
What year is this? 2013. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic.
It was a treat, man.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well done. Well
Thanks.
Done on many levels.
Thanks.
And not well done to Bernie Green and his Stereo Mad Men.
Yeah.
I don't
Try
know
again,
yeah.
Bernie.
I think we can thoroughly say you're not going to recommend this. I would normally say, why recommend it?
No.
So, no.
No.
If you want some music. Go ahead, buy it. If you like the cover, cover's great.
Yeah. It says on the back, misled by Bernie Green, who mm-hmm. also wrote this stuff.
Mm.
So Bernie Green is responsible for this.
I was going to be looking up who the hell this Bernie Green fellow was, and, you know, but I didn't, so does that help? Okay, well, so he's a music guy, from what I can tell here. He was a music guy, and... he was very old when he wrote this. He was 51 when he wrote this.
Okay,
so,
all right.
you know.
So 58. Wow. Well, try again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Bernie.
Jesus, Bernie.
What'd you do?
I don't know. But it got us to talk about Mad Magazine.
And it's got Wally Wood drawings on the back.
They're great.
So that I'm cool with.
Yeah. It's worth collecting. I can say that. If you're a mad person who likes the art, then
yeah.
yes. Sure. If you're, it's so weird. From this angle, his eyes look even.
Right?
But if you look at it dead on, you realize that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's
and
terrible.
Then, oh, yeah, you hold up to a mirror. You're like, oh, oh, no. What, me worry? He can't.
No.
There's no connections happening in this head.
Synapses are all.
His eyes.
Fizzled.
His skull is mm-hmm. a wreck. You know, this is even his ears are off. There's nothing human about this boy. Also, how old is Alfred
yeah,
E. Newman?
If he was, something we've never determined.
He's a 45-year-old, 12-year-old.
Uh-huh,
it's
yeah.
like, there's no...
I mean, that is kind of the Mad Reader, right? Like, when you're 12, you're like, I'm a grown-up now. I'm reading
that's
Mad Magazine.
True.
You know, like, that's the one thing that tracks.
Like, if someone was like, yeah, Norman... Or Norman, bingo. If someone was like, Alfred E. Newman is a boy, I don't believe it. But he's not a man.
Right.
Is he 15? I don't know. Anyway.
This episode's going to come out in a week or two. Do you
All
have
right.
anything you want to promote?
Big City Greens. We've
yes.
got season 2 coming out this fall on
awesome.
Disney Channel.
Exciting.
And things are getting weird, man.
Yeah.
Season 2 gets weird and wild and super fun.
Mm-hmm.
We got a ton of cool guest stars. That I'm probably not allowed to talk about.
I was going
to
ask. Damn it.
I know.
All right.
But really cool stuff happening. We're, if anyone's at D23,
mm-hmm.
Which is later this month,
mm-hmm.
In August, we're going to be doing a Big City Greens /Amphibia panel.
Uh-huh.
Amphibia is a new Disney Channel cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And Kermit the Frog is moderating the panel. It's insane.
Go to hell.
It's absolutely insane. I don't care what the panel is going to be.
Yeah.
We're like writing skits. I don't care if they work or if anyone enjoys it.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait to meet Kermit.
So the second you hear, hey, Chris, you're going to just...
I'm just going to die.
Right?
I'm just going to die.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, wait. That means... oh, I don't want to break the reality too much, but we're all grown-ups here. I don't know what the new Kermit sounds like.
I haven't heard him. Okay, so Kermit did a little promo thing with Amphibia,
mm-hmm.
because it's a show about frogs.
About frogs, sure.
And you can hear his Kermit's new voice in that.
Okay.
And it's different.
Sure.
You know, but it's Kermit. You know, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
How can you, you know, to me, he's still the same character.
Yeah, of course.
And it's still of the course. Same.
Oh, I'm just great. Always, I'm just like, I'm always very like,
oh, yeah.
I thought I was going to, you can see out there, I thought I was going to be a puppeteer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm always interested to hear. All right, I'm gonna find that.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Where are you on Twitter again?
Yeah, Chris C. Houghton.
Really?
Yeah.
You went with the middle initial.
I had to.
There's another Chris Houghton.
So many of us.
Really?
And why? My last name, it's hard to say. It's hard to spell. Mm-hmm. I should at least give me that. That's at least true. Give me the one. I'm the one Chris Houghton. But no.
But no. Of course
not even that.
Why should? I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing the show again.
Thanks for having me on, man.
You're welcome back anytime. I think at some point we're going to have to find an excuse to talk about just Jack Davis covers.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even touch on that, but...
At some point.
Yeah.
We'll have to do that.
Let's do it.
Well, I'm just going to tell you guys to go... You know, follow me on Instagram, Jason Klamm, JasonKlamm, hashtag the professional blur. I just kind of didn't wrap up, but I was doing all my... Showing you guys all my stupid extra work over 10 years and just did Drunk History, where you can actually see me, and I'm not a blur for the whole thing. So that's kind of... I got to sit next to Elijah Wood for 3 hours.
Dang.
Hang out with Elijah Wood.
That's awesome.
I made him laugh once. That was enough for me. You know. You know, well-known comedian Elijah Wood. Basically, there is... So the story is Hoover's burglars. It was a bunch of citizens who decided to break in the FBI and prove that the FBI was spying on Americans and that they were screwing a bunch of Americans over. Elijah Wood plays the head, and Sophia Bush plays his wife, the other head of the group, and I am just one of the dudes sitting literally right next to him, and because of that, I'm in his living room, and we break into the FBI together. So you can see me all through the day.
Oh, my God!
So I'm like a featured extra who got paid a non-union rate. Who cares? I've always wanted to see myself on
TV,
not blurry. That's been the whole goal.
That's great, man.
So it's super fun.
I'll check it out. Who's telling the story?
Duncan Trussell.
Okay.
It came out a couple weeks ago.
Love his podcast.
Yeah. I have not heard the podcast yet, but he's a delight. He's insane.
I love his voice, too. I want to get him on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. God.
He's so funny.
Like, there's
one
point where he just like, Derek! Like, he screams Derek, and I love it so much. Oh,
he just seems like a guy that you just want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
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 That's crazy.
Although, I don't know if I could be with a guy who, that's how he handles his liquor. I mean, good on you, buddy, if you can stay awake for that. But, and I'll just point out, guys, Derek, if you're listening, I'm a professional drinker already. So if you need someone to come on the show and talk about Von Meter, I've already proposed this. I'm just saying. Or Spiro Agnew. Happy to do it.
Oh, there you go.
You know? Well, thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klamm. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. You can email us at podcast@comedyonvinyl.com. You can also send snail mail to Stolen Dress Entertainment, P.O. Box 805, Burbank, California, 91503. Subscribe to Comedy on Vinyl on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. It helps. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Comedy on Vinyl, or find everything in one place at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune in to the new Stand Up Records channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast. Visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, watch videos, and imbibe freely of our multimedia content going back 15 plus years.